You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hey, y'all. Bayou Benders here to talk to you about the latest from our sponsors, DraftKings. Second round is in full swing and the action increases from game to game. This is where the contenders are separated from the pretenders. To give you some skin in the game, DraftKings will be offering free-to-play pools every day of the basketball playoffs, offering players a free shot at up to $10,000 in total prizes. That's up to $10,000 in total prizes up for grabs each day. The best part is that it's free-to-play. DraftKings free-to-play pools are easy to enter. Just download the DraftKings app, go to pools, and choose from a wide variety of free contests for an opportunity to win cash prizes. All you have to do is answer a handful of questions around what you think is going to happen during the day's basketball games and track your results throughout the evening. Questions will range from which team will hit the most threes to which team will score first. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN when you sign up to get your free shot at thousands of dollars in total prizes every day of the hockey playoffs and basketball. Head to DraftKings pool page to get your shot at huge cash prizes. That's promo code THPN for a limited time only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for full details. Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, a.k.a. Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Night. Pretty uneventful week. Just really been nothing to do. But Mason, how are you, bud?
I'm pretty good. How are you, buddy?
I just took a sip of water. I'm doing fine. It's just been very, very boring, dude. Like, happy we closed up the series like that, but there has been truly nothing to do.
Yeah, not much to talk about on this episode except for some predictions for the series, I guess. But yeah, I guess I've just been kind of vibing, playing some golf in their, you know, downtime at least.
Awesome.
Yeah, but like you said, like kind of happy that we obviously happy we swept the Jets. That was pretty fun, but no hockey for what, almost a week now.
Yeah,
it's been
tough,
fucking brutal, especially with what we've been used to. Once that Vegas Colorado series finished, I was lost. I've done nothing. I haven't watched any. I don't want to watch the Islanders play hockey if I don't have to, right?
Oh, so. Well, the Islanders did win today, so kudos to them. I want them to win that series. I'm a big fan of teams that previously won it, not even making the finals. So this is our last chance for that for me.
I just think it would be absolutely hilarious if Tampa Bay was $18 million over the cap and didn't make the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah. Plus, I don't like Tampa. So, well, I don't like Florida. So.
Fuck Tampa.
Oh, shit. But, yeah, so there's really not much. I'm sure everybody expects that. All we can do is be hype. And it's just fucking the night before. It's like, you know, like Christmas Eve. Before the battle begins, but I guess let's just go in. You know, this we're gonna go into small things like let's talk about I got made fun of before that. I got corrected for calling it Tree Rivers, but it's Three Rivers. I get it. Just in the South, we sometimes just say tree because it's, I don't know, we are so fond of just shortening even shorter words than we should, but Tree Rivers Lions unveil logo. Pretty sick logo, not gonna lie. I forgot who did it, but a recent fan of the show that's been really talking back and forth with us on Twitter had asked me what, you know, they had mentioned something like what would you want the name to be, and just asking fans. And I was like, shit, I completely forgot about we were getting the CHL team. But I guess mine was I went with the Three Rivers, whatever, however you say torches in French. And then I was like, just throw up like a really sick clip art of the torch that we, you know, that we have in the beginning of every season. I was like, color scheme, I have no idea, but I thought that was sick. But apparently the Lions was a previous name of a hockey team from Three Rivers, so why not go back to it? But the logo is super fucking sick. I don't know if you've seen it, but I truthfully am so over Florida Leaves. We talked about this one of my first times on with you about just how saturated New Orleans is with fucking Florida Leaves. But this is one I would be damn happy to support and like have.
I thought it was a really cool dynamic though too. And we've seen a lot of people absolutely in love with it on Twitter and other platforms, because not only is it the fleur-de-lis turning into a lion, which is just fucking like
that's great idea. Whatever graphic designer came up with that, definitely I would have like locked them on like full contract with this team.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also it's like three, right? Mm-hmm. As in trois rivières. I can't. I'm not very good at the French pronunciation, but I believe it's like Riviere or something. I can't. But yeah, Trois Riviere Lions. I don't know. I'm a big fan of the logo, to be perfectly honest. I like the name. I'm not sick of fleur-de-lis. I understand that. I guess you probably see them a lot.
Dude, can't wait for you to come down here one time, and I'm just gonna take you down the street, and you can be like, God have mercy.
Well, isn't the Saints logo is a
fleur-de-lis? Saints logo, I mean, there's just a bunch of French flags everywhere. Like, we have marketed the fleur-de-lis as like that is New Orleans. So it's on everything. It's on shitty t-shirts, it's on flags, it's on Mardi Gras flags that are up way past Mardi Gras. It's on Christmas flags. Like it's just fucking everywhere. It's hanging from poles. There's people always have beads. There's a fleur-de-lis on the beads. There's just fleur-de-lis icons all over it. So it can be a little bit drowning out, but this is so
fucking sick. You're proud of your French heritage, right?
No, 100%. I love the fleur-de-lis, but like, it's just so hard to go out and see it like oversaturated like that. It's just like, ah, fuck, like, give me a break, you know, break me off a piece of that. Some other
way. Fair enough. I mean, that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, no, so that'll be pretty exciting. I'm excited to see what the jersey actually looks like.
I was about to say, I can't wait to see the kit. They said that on Twitter today that they're still working on the concepts for it. But if it's anything like this logo, I'm really digging that kind of darkish blue with the gray and the white. That's a sick combination in its own right there.
Yeah, and I like honestly can't imagine I'll buy one. I haven't even got a reverse retro jersey yet.
I understand it. Like, I'm stingy. $235. So. Like, they're high up there in the cost, but
yeah, I'm a little frugal at times. I'll admit, I can't
$500 golf club.
Well, that's different. That's golf. I just spent fuck me, man. I spent $64 on 18 holes today.
It's better than last time. Your boy was there chonking it.
Oh, it was leaving
potholes.
Worst round I've shot all year. I lost 15 balls.
Gross.
On 18 holes. Fucking shot 109 on a 70, par 70, shot 39 over. And you know what? Didn't finish last. So it was not a great day for golf. It was fucking pissing down rain. We're in a thunderstorm right now.
You know, we actually have had quite the wind today. Didn't really rain down here, but excuse me. I got a friend up north that was playing some video games with today, and he was like, it is fucking storming. He's like, dude, I'm sorry if I lag out, but like, we got torrential rainfall happening right now.
There's I don't know what exactly you want to, like, forked lightning, like typical, like, Tampa Bay lightning bolt, like, mm-hmm. out of the sky, like, fucking brutal. When I was coming into town, and like, you could actually, like, it was so close to where I was driving on the highway on the 401 you could see it like landing. I was like, fuck, I gotta get home.
Oh man.
But it was probably not the greatest conditions to be golfing in. Glad we got out of it pretty safely, but yeah. I don't know how we got here talking about me golfing again. It's fucking my
talked about the cost of jerseys.
Honestly, like I think being a jersey, like having a jersey addiction might be cheaper than golfing. I can't get over how expensive it is to golf.
I don't know, because I don't play fucking golf.
Oh, it's brutal. It's like it's like $35 for like you get like 12 balls if they're any good quality. And then it'll be like, if you're going to like a decent course, like I said, like I paid $74 the other day to do 18 with carts. I did, and then I paid $64 today, but my tee time was at 4:40. So I got the twilight discount, which is like $30 off because it's not prime time. So you can amount like $94 for 18. It's ridiculous. But you know, I guess it's good that the Leafs have pretty deep pockets with those $10 million contracts, eh?
Jesus. Disgusting. And then
longest buildup to a shitty joke ever.
they were at the UFC event last night with Biebs. And I was just laughing so hard because I'm like, oh, man. We play tomorrow. We play in 2 days. And these clowns are showing up looking like bums to a fucking UFC event and going to get sit in a private booth probably.
I was laughing because the UFC basically treated Austin Matthews like a random. On their Twitter, they're like, oh, Justin Bieber's here at the UFC. Austin Matthews is right beside him walking. They just didn't even, I don't know if they knew he existed, who he was. I thought that was funny.
Who knows? Anyways, we'll try to get this rig back on the tracks, but I mean, it feels like more than half a week. But after Wednesday's win, Bob Gainey went in the back and had a little speech for the boys after sweeping the series heading into the what we're calling the semifinals. But I think that's super cool. We were treated to a night of Guy Lafleur and a Rajon Uel and fucking who else was there? Yvonne, and then we'll leave a blank because we don't fucking can't pronounce it. But
Yvonne Coronier.
Damn close. but no, Brendan Gallagher kind of spoke out on it, and some people were saying that he didn't know if he was supposed to say that or if it was like something that was supposed to be just private. But I don't think it really fucking matters. But basically, just
Why would regular people care?
Right. I think it's super cool. And he kind of touched on like having an alumni this big, you know, having like all these big names is great. But he just said, you know, how important it was and how lucky they were to be going into a situation like this. And hopefully that kept the boys inspired through this ever long break we've been going through. Definitely nervous of it. We spoke on it last episode, but, definitely wanted to bring that up because I had no idea that Gainey had spoke prior to this. And I was like, fuck, this would have been great on last episode. but figured we'd still bring it up. So hopefully everybody's still kind of fired up about that. But I guess with the fired upness, let's go with so Petey, Evans, and Merrill have traveled. They are in Vegas right now. Everyone had their second shot of their COVID, what was that? It's not a COVID test, anyway.
They're like Pfizer.
Yeah.
Shot, you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, I can't pronounce that, but excuse me. But yeah, Petey, Evans, and Merrill are with the team. Ducharme had a quick interview, quick media presence with it, saying that Jake Evans on his second day, which was June 12th on IEC, said, well, 2 days ago for you guys now, but he said that he could be ready within 3 to 4 days, but the priority is that he's 100%, and they will refuse to let him come until he is absolutely ready. So I think that's awesome, but I also love that Jake Evans is just about battle ready so quickly after that nasty hit.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful that Jake Evans gets back into the lineup. Obviously, with an injury like that, you don't want to be rushed. You don't want to rush him in. You just kind of want to play it by ear and see what happens. With Petrie, however, they said he's going to be practicing tomorrow, I believe. I don't know if he's going to be a game time decision. They haven't announced that. But you would have to hope that, you know, obviously you don't want to miss him to miss any games. But if he's missing any at all, it's just one. Because
yeah, and truthfully, maybe the first game would be the best one because you don't want to miss him later in the series, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And we can't express how vital he is to this team. This team doesn't it's going to be an uphill battle like it has been all series, all season long for this team. But, you know.
Yeah, we definitely need our offensive defensive leader there with us because we're going to need every opportunity. It's going to take everything we've got to run up on this Vegas team. That's definitely just as, if not more, has more depth than us. And their depth really comes to play in the playoffs. But that's why I wanted to bring that up. With the thought of Jake Evans coming back, it's like almost like a reassurance that like, yeah, we came out of that series kind of battered and, but everything, the pieces are kind of coming back together, even though John Merrill only played game five of the Toronto series, but,
I honestly keep forgetting Merrill's been hurt.
Right. But they had expected that it was going to be 1 to 2 weeks. And, the fact that he's coming with the team is almost just a bit of another relief, because
he's there if we need him, right?
Yeah, Jeff Petrie goes down. People are excited like I was. Romanov plays, but you know, you get that fear of okay, now we're very stretched thin on defensively, you know, to the point to where they were saying, you know, it wasn't going to be Romanov or Ouellette that would come in, but
there's no scenario on any team in which you want to replace Jeff Petrie with Xavier Ouellette.
No. But
or Romanov for that matter.
Absolutely right. If Petey's not there, it is gonna be tough. But John Merrill making it is just another thing that makes this more of a poetic justice or a destiny style round three with John Merrill being a former Golden Knight with Tatar and Suzuki.
I can't say I would play Merrill though, to be perfectly honest. Like I don't see a scenario in which I think he slots into the lineup and really is effective. I think with Ben Chiarot, Edmondson and Weber, you have your classical shutdown guys. Petrie, you need is your puck move. That's pretty much all your puck movement right there. But Kulak can do it, but not to the extent that Gustafsson or Romanov can. Mm-hmm. And I just think if you play Merrill instead of like in the place there, right? I just think that he kind of limits that puck moving, especially when you're only playing 8 minutes, 10 minutes as our bottom pairing has, I just don't think you really need that. Another shutdown guy. Like when Gustafsson has succeeded and when Romanov was succeeding in that game he played, they were getting paired with Chiarot or Edmondson, and they were able to make plays safe plays, right? Because they were being covered, but they were able to go out there, make plays, move the puck, provide some offense. And I just don't think Merrill can, he's not a facilitator, and I don't think that's a role he can play, especially since that's the role that Montreal seems to be, I don't know if they're asking of, but they're definitely expecting at least the players from that bottom pairing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I mean like Merrill being there, I feel like this is more of a cushion, and I hate to not see people play, but if Petey goes down again and Merrill comes in, I would rather at least have Merrill than Ouellette, just because like, yeah, it would definitely change the dynamic of how we run offensively, but at least there's a hope that, you know, maybe we go into more of a Islanders play, just a more defensive minded and just trying to shut down and then look for a, you know, just catch them off guard. But I don't know. I'm just kind of happy that at least if Merrill is back, that's someone that's just a little bit more proven that we can slot in. Granted, yeah, like you said, it's we don't really need another, you know, blue line guy. But I guess just with the fear of the defense kind of crumbling right now, it's good to kind of have him, even if it's not the style of play we would want to play. But here's another thing. What did you think about Max Pacioretty on his comment? I'll kind of give you like a – I don't remember it right off the top of my head, but he basically said that they asked him about the series, and he said more or less it doesn't – more or less like it doesn't matter. Like it doesn't matter who we play, you know. And do you take that as a Montreal Canadian fan as like – like he just did not, he doesn't want to reminisce on his time with the Canadians. Is there still a bit of upsetness with them, or is it just dominations on his mind, along with Mark Stone, who said it was an easy four?
I didn't see Mark Stone's comments, so I won't comment about those, but I saw what Deneau and Max Pacioretty had to say. Galley the same. Deneau and Patches were line mates. Like Philip was his center for two, maybe a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Look, it's the conference finals. Like, it's
ain't no winner, time to reminisce.
Yeah, like, the winner it's goes on grind. And that's what they're saying. And I think people need to realize that the Pacioretty, it's been 3 years. Okay. The guy was, you know, love him or hate him, I don't know why you'd hate him. People say he didn't perform in the playoffs, whatever. Like, I don't really remember him letting down in the playoffs. I know he didn't stand out. But those teams he was on were never going – they were going as far as Price was. And when you look at what Pacioretty's done in Vegas, I think you realize that he really was a star player on an island. He never had an elite or even the second-line center to facilitate him the puck, and he always scored consistently 35 goals, almost 40 every year. The whole Pacioretty-Montreal kind of beef thing, he asked for a trade – whatever, like at the end of the day, I think his agent, Alan Walsh, even said it, put it like this, it's over. Both sides are happy.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas got what they wanted. They got a sniper. They got a leader on that team. They got a star to play with Mark Stone. Montreal got Thomas Tatar, Nick Suzuki, their future number one centerman, and already an emerging star. And they got Matthias Norlander, who is a phenomenal prospect. Both sides won. So I just think reliving this and acting like there's some bad blood here is just media just trying to stir things up for a narrative. I think
like trying to make it big, obviously bigger than it is, but trying to make the series seem larger, as inflated as they can make it.
I think you grasp at straws here when you're trying to push a narrative to a story for two teams that only play each other twice a regular season in normal circumstances, but haven't played each other in a calendar year. More than a calendar year, right? It's right. Hard to create bad blood, but I think really, and I know we talked about it last time, the narrative they should be selling should not be Pacioretty's revenge tour. It should be Price versus Fleury. Because these guys haven't, they're the two best goalies of their generation. They haven't played each other since 2010. And they're both playing phenomenally. I think that's the story you really need to sell here. And I think that's the story that's going to be the most impactful in this series. Because at the end of the day, Montreal's still riding Price. And if Fleury can't keep the puck out of the net consistently like Price can or vice versa, the other team's going to lose. They're not like Vegas is obviously a higher octane offense than Montreal, but they're not Tampa. They're not, you know, they're not Boston. They're not Colorado. So I think this is really a goaltender's battle once again.
Right. I love the comments that Price made. Reporter asked him about Marc-Andre Fleury. He said he's an amazing player and an even better person. So, you know, I love that there's no hatred between them, which granted, like you said, they haven't played since 2010. There really shouldn't be. But
that's what I mean. Like, why try to create something that isn't there? Right. If they want hate, trust me, after Ryan Reeves' first shift where he trips over his own feet at the blue line and then tries to hit a guy in the face, I'm going to hate him. I already do. Like, there's gonna be hate there. And I guess the one thing that I will say, as a closet Avs fan, they're my second team, And one of my best buddies is a big Avs fan. I gotta say, Habs fans, okay? Pete DeBoer, how do you say his last name?
Pete DeBoer.
DeBoer.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a player, you must absolutely love him. By the end of this series, we are going to fucking hate him. He is the biggest whiner I have ever seen in any post-game press conference. And I don't know if did we talk about the penalty situation in Vegas with Colorado?
No, we didn't.
So I think it was the first two or three games, Vegas had 14 penalties. And Pete DeBoer went on his post-game and started whining about how many, like genuinely like whining about how many penalties they got. And in the next three to four, I think it was three or four games, they had seven penalties in total and four of them were over the glass. So that, I know as a closet Avs fan, that's infuriating, but if he's doing that shit against Montreal, like forget Reeves, you're going to fucking hate DeBoer after this series.
I know DeBoer because, you know, bit of a San Jose fan. My cousins are very big San Jose fans. And I mean, Pete DeBoer, his entire time that he was with San Jose, I mean, they've made it to the playoffs four of the five in a row times, and obviously five on his last, but I mean, lost in the finals, then in the first round, second round, and then the conference finals. We thought at the time it was a big mistake to have let go of DeBoer, but I mean, I'm sure San Jose fans hate it even more because he immediately went to Vegas and found just as much success. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, if you're a Vegas fan or a Vegas player, you absolutely fucking love that guy. Don't get me wrong. But after Reeves runs somebody, which, like,
it's gonna let's happen. Be honest, he's gonna set the tone. He's going to play his game, you know?
He doesn't have a game to play. I'm sorry. I think, like, love or hate Tom Wilson – and most people seem to hate him.
He's an athlete.
Yeah, Tom Wilson can play hockey, okay? The guy's put up – here, let me just pull up his stats real quick. I know he has at least 45-point seasons in the NHL.
So you'd rather have Tom Wilson than the Muffin Man?
Look, Tom Wilson's last 3 years, he had 40 points in 63 games, 22 goals, 44 in 68, 21 goals. This year he had 33 points in 47 games, 13 goals. The guy can play hockey. Ryan Reeves, on the other hand, you know, we talk about, you know, oh, fighting. They want to bring fighting out of the game. Stupid. It's barbaric, whatever. Reeves has 101 points in 686 games. His career high is 20 points. The guy's not here. He's not there to play hockey, okay? He's there to hit people, and he's there to fight, and he's there to be a nuisance. We're going to fucking hate him, absolutely, by the end of the series. And I just think, like, if he hurts someone on Montreal, I guess that's the one thing I think Montreal – Vegas is a better team, but Montreal really going to struggle with is if Reeves goes out there and is hitting people, I don't know, doing what he does, being a dickhead, I don't know who on Montreal answers the bell.
Mid-season, I would have said Joel Edmondson, but Joel Edmondson has become such a key factor in this playoffs. Basically, with this team, who do you truly call on now? And my guess would be a Josh Anderson. What?
Well, see, I think Josh Anderson's hurt. I think his hands are injured. I know he broke part of his hand earlier in the season, right? I don't want that guy fighting, especially when you're making $5.5 million.
Right. Don't damage the goods for next season.
Yeah, you don't want that guy to fight. So, I don't know. It's tough. Like, I don't think Ryan Reeves is going to change the situation at all. I don't think he's going to make that much of an impact, knock on wood, on the series. But
we just got to hope that we can be explosive when he's out there to the point that every time he's out there, we find a way to gain some offensive momentum, you know?
Yeah, the guy got 5 fucking points this year.
Hey, I mean, you can knock him, but it's guys like that that still have a job in this league that make me happy. Because, like, as long as he's still got a job fighting, we'll still be a part of this league. It's toned down as they try to make it. Like, he's still, like, last of the fucking regale, you know?
See, that's interesting to me because I think fighting should still be a part of the NHL.
Yeah, so do I.
I hate that they – try to break it up and stuff. But I just hate that Ryan Reeves is on the ice to hurt somebody, especially with, like, when you watch the way he fights, what he did to, who was it, Ryan Graves in the Colorado series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know we didn't really talk about it. The fact that Kadri got 8 games for that hit and Ryan Reeves got, what, 1 or 2? For, and, like, genuinely, like, it reminded me of, like, he had his neck on the back of the guy's head. You can imagine what that reminded me of.
100%, yeah. I think we all did.
So, and the outrage to that was ridiculous. This guy could have really hurt Graves, could have really, like, just, that was disgusting. That's not hockey, man. That's just, you're a dumb 6'2" guy on skates going out there to hit people. And I don't know. I just don't think that should be a part of the game. Like, I think if you can play hockey and you want to fight, go for it. Like Josh Anderson types, if you want to beat each other, do it. But I don't know. I just think if you're out there and you're a pylon, but you can fight people, I don't see the point, I guess. And I just think you're going to catch people off guard and potentially hurt them.
Fair enough.
And I say this as a Habs fan, I love Chris Nyland. I love when he's in social media and obviously a, you know, pretty big fighter, but also the guy scored 21 goals for the Habs. Like, the guy could fight, but he could also play hockey. And I think that's the kind of standard you need to set.
Right. But then also, I mean, we're going to kind of fall into a rabbit hole. Like, it's also bad on the coaches. Like, yeah, like, granted, like, these guys might not be the most athletic guys when it comes to, like, offensive or defensive opportunities, right? But they almost get clustered into this narrative is like, this is just all they're here for. Whereas Knuckles, even in with the Rangers, they gave him opportunities. They knew what he was capable of and took a risk on him. And I find that, you know, Ryan Reeves might be out of the picture. You know, obviously you just mentioned he had five points this season, but you know, they tend to just take these guys and don't use them for anything, with maybe Tom Wilson being like the fucking asterisk, right? Because he is definitely remarkable offensively. I fucking pick him every year in fantasy. But I feel like a lot of these guys get kind of stuck. They're like, okay, you're here to fight. You know, as much as they want to pretend like it's out the league, coaches and GMs still feel that way. So, like, maybe not Ryan Reeves, but maybe, like, someone like what's his name? He was with the Rangers. Brendan Lemieux, right? What if Brendan Lemieux really has a nice background that just never gets – it's never brought to the picture because you're expecting him to play a fourth-line job, which is fine, but with no real – upside to it. You're just going to go out there and play a grinder and that's it.
Yeah, I guess. I'm more of the side, like, I would rather them play hockey and dress the most talented hockey players so I can see good hockey, right? Like, I don't want to, when the fourth line goes out there and it's just a fucking dump and chase fest for the next minute, it kind of kills, I just think it kills the pace of the game.
Well, lucky we didn't have that, because our fourth line throughout the season, when they were fucking all healthy and they rejoined. But the fourth line during the season and the playoffs has been actually one of our funnest lines to watch.
Yeah, they've been phenomenal. And
I completely understand, though. And I agree, because the fourth line is definitely like you're dulled down. Okay, we're just going to play a very dump and chase, very defensive-oriented. We're going to put you up against high-caliber guys.
And that's fucking boring, right? Like, even Vegas is a good example. I love that Vegas on their third line has Alex Tuch. That guy's fucking amazing. This guy's nasty. He can go out there and he can make some stuff happen. I love that Jake Evans on the third line. You know, I think that's more exciting to watch, per se. But, you know, we're going a little off kilter here. So I guess we'll just tone it back off with just some predictions. Like, I want to know your honest prediction. Like, what do you think? Do the Habs have a chance here? Do you think we're going to lose? Like, what what's going on in your mind entering this game Monday?
I think we do, because you see, like, Vegas definitely was like tied with first with Colorado. So definitely is a very powerful team, a team you don't want to take lightly. But there was moments of I guess lapses, like even Minnesota. Guaranteed Minnesota had an amazing run this season. But it showed a bit of weakness. It showed that they could be beaten. And this is a team, sadly, that always comes up short. Is this the year that they, you know, that something happens for them? I don't know. But fuck, man. It's so tough because everybody, like every podcast I go on asks me the kind of the same thing. And it's more of like we're just chasing a Cinderella dream, you know, like this is such a remarkable run for us. I don't think the players are playing as expected. I think they're playing above expectations. So it's like, what are we going to get out of them this series? But I think there's a chance. I think Sportsnet had them at 0% and Vegas at 44% winning the Stanley Cup. So 0% for us, obviously. It's just might as well hang that up in the dressing room, let everybody see it. I don't think this is an easy win. Obviously, if we have a shot, I think this goes to 6 or 7, and I think it's more leaning to a 7, grueling battle. And if we do make it out of this series, I expect us to be like with a fucked up tailpipe, with a ghetto ass wonky wheel. Like, this is a team that how we said we were going to treat Toronto leaving the series, that if we don't win, we want to have them move on. I wouldn't say hurt because you don't want to hurt people, but like you definitely want to affect their game going into the next series. We are not leaving this series close to fucking 75%. Like, that's just my general opinion of it. I think they're just too nasty and everybody on that team has a chip on their shoulders. So I'm going to go 7.
Fair enough.
If we get to 7, we can win 100%.
Fair enough. I think it's going to be a grueling series. I think it's going to be 6 or 7 games. I cannot tell you which way it's going, to be honest. I want to bet on the Habs, but this fucking Vegas team is
scary. And they've always been scary, 100%. Fuck. I just think that we're just – this is the season where anything can happen for the Canadiens, so I can't knock them. I tried to knock them against Toronto, and – you know, we changed the narrative on that. This is definitely going to be clueless for a lot of people. And the only people that it's not going to be clueless for is Vegas fans. And we'll, you know, they're going into it just like Toronto did. This is an easy win. You know, everyone has belittled us and really fucking Birdman didn't put respect on their names, you know, and then you face the Canadians. This might be the one that we walk away from. And you know what? Super proud of this team, everything they have accomplished. But then again, dude, fuck, dude. we've shut down teams before. We might be able to do it again. We're 4 wins from a Stanley Cup appearance. We're riding a 7-game win streak, 8-game win streak, I believe. Yeah. Sad thing is that we've been off for a fucking week.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I think the Habs are going to come out pretty hot. They seem to have done so in each series so far. They've won game one in both. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And I'm excited to just be able to watch some Habs hockey again.
Yeah, Dave called me and he was like, fucking just didn't even give me an opportunity to say yes or no. He was like, my house, 55-inch television on the porch, out in the fucking heat with the mosquitoes, beer, food, you and me. And I'm like, that sounds great. Hopefully I can bang out like a really good conversation. I'll try to record something with Dave because it'll get fucking ignorant. I know it will. Hopefully we can get something out of that. But I'm super excited. This is my peak time for me. I love watching hockey with Dave. And it's just amazing that it's the Canadians. We haven't done this since I was like 22 years old when I first started working in the city. You know, so it's been a hot minute since we've really got to do this. But I know that you're looking forward to, especially whatever happens once we get into the off season, we will be toning it down, move to 1 episode a week. But during that time, we love to talk about prospects. But before we leave, I figured we'd give you a chance to talk about Sean Farrell. He's the USHL Player of the Year. I think he scored over, I think it's what, 101 points.
101 points, second all time in the USHL. Sean Farrell.
Yeah. This kid looks like
University
he's Harvard a child.
He looks like he's a child, you say?
I just pulled up his
on his
obviously he's a child. You know, he's only 19 years old. It's if not your age, so suck on that. But this picture definitely doesn't do him justice.
It doesn't do him justice.
It looks like this was taken like under 15s. But what an amazing season for him.
Yeah, to have 101 points in 53 games in any league is definitely an accomplishment. He did this in the USHL. As I said, the second most points in that league all time in a single season. 72 assists, 29 goals. Ridiculous. This guy just fucking, he balls. He's 5'9". Small guy. He balls. Like, he just,
I love it. I love it because it's like, he's like basically the opposite of Cole Caulfield. I mean, Cole Caulfield's obviously been an assist, mastermind.
29 goals.
Yeah.
Like,
don't let me fall off the narrative, but I love that his assists were so high because I love guys that love the dish, that love apples just as much as goals. So I guess I see a little bit of Cole Caulfield in him, which is funny because they're like 3 years apart, maybe.
Who, Sean Farrell and Caulfield?
Yeah, but the future's bright.
I think they're 1 year apart.
Wow.
I remember Caulfield actually tweeted out that he was a steal when Montreal got him in the fourth.
He did. I do remember that. That was awesome.
Yeah, no. Sean Farrell is 2020. Caulfield is 2019. They're both, I believe Caulfield's a 2001. I think they're the exact same age.
Holy shit.
Let me just look that up. I think Caulfield is a 2001.
Well, yeah, we just have another very explosive left wing coming up, and I wouldn't be so...
Yeah, Caulfield's a 2001.
Wow. So, future's bright. I'm happy. Just happy for Sean Farrell. What a great... I mean, what? And that's his last year with the Steel, and then he's gonna.
Yeah, he was supposed to play. He was supposed to play for Harvard this year, but mm-hmm. the Ivy League school shut down their hockey program.
Yeah. So
he's in Chicago, and he will be playing for Harvard. Obviously, the Ivy League isn't exactly monster in the NCAA. It's not like the Big Ten in that regard, but it's still quality NCAA Division I hockey. And you know, fourth round draft pick, he's going to be some time, but definitely excited for him in the coming years.
Yeah, man. Well, kudos to him. And I know you're excited to talk more prospects once the season is wrapped up. But I think that's about it, unless you got another ignorant ass story to tell us.
No, I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I figured, I don't know how long we've been going, but I figured we'd keep it a little bit shorter. Kind of due to just lack of content, but folks, you guys are going to hear this at whatever time you decide to listen to it on Monday, and hopefully this is your getting excited before the game episode. You know, this is what you guys choose to listen to, and we definitely appreciate it, but obviously we're just as excited as you guys. We're just recording it one day before you listen, so it's the excitedness just isn't there yet, and it's also fucking 10 o'clock. But folks, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been Habs Nightly. Please follow us at Habs Nightly on Twitter and Bayou Benders. We also just put out a brand new t-shirt involving Philip Deneau and his pizza loving post-game series clinchers. So if you guys would love to buy a t-shirt and support us, you can find it at habsnightly.whatforapparel. Guys, even just having a look, maybe sharing it, everything helps. But you guys have a great night, great day. Go Habs. We'll talk to you guys again on Thursday.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
I'm Corey Francha.
I'm Richie Suave Flores.
And this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave.
On the Hockey Podcast Network.
What did I just listen to?
Oh, this game. This game is just bullshit now.
Oh my gosh. They actually make me feel uncomfortable. What was it? Panty what?
The game has gone to bullshit.
Panty melted?
Why do we record these during the middle of games? Oh, God.
Be sure to listen to Corey and I every Monday. We are your go-to source for the Arizona Coyotes on the Hockey Podcast Network.